Share with you this morning about the fact that you have a place in the body of Christ, and how the Holy Spirit fits into that. I have a tendency to always go to 1 Peter chapter 4 when I talk about people being gifted. And so first of all, just to say that you're gifted. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 is a general statement about the giftedness of the believer. And there he says, as each one of you has received a gift. Well, that's just a simple statement. If you're a born-again believer, you're part of the body of Christ, you have received a gift. And he just simply says, minister it to one another. Use what God's given you to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has, by grace, given you gifts. Now, here he's not even specific as to what the gifts might be. He didn't even call them spiritual gifts. In fact, you might just think about everything you have as a gift. But he does divide it into two types of gifts. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers or serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And so he divides the gifts, the abilities, talents into two categories. That which is a speaking talent or ability, and that which is a serving, working type talent. And he simply says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. So whatever your gift, talent, ability is, number one, you use it to serve others. Number two, God gets the glory out of your ability to serve. It's last night we happened on to a birthday celebration for Billy Graham, and so for an hour we watched people honor Billy Graham and see clips of Billy Graham preaching from the 1950s. To the current. the theme that prevailed, well, there were a couple of themes. Number one, best evangelist that ever lived. Evangelist that spoke to more people than any other evangelist in history. But the other theme that prevailed was his integrity. Man of integrity that touched people's lives. A man with that much exposure, that much opportunity to take advantage, and yet he maintained integrity, moral integrity, financial integrity, all the way through his life. There's a lot to be said for that when it comes to giftedness. The more gifted you are, the more blessed you are, the more used you are by God, integrity becomes a huge issue. Can people trust you? Next week, I'm going to talk to you about a man named Barnabas and the integrity he had and just how he was trusted repeatedly. But we'll talk about that next week. It occurred to me that Pastor Jim's going to be on a retreat next week. I don't usually get to say next week I'll talk to you about this, but so you get this ability from God, and then it takes a lot of integrity to not try to get glory for this ability that God has given to you. I'd like to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and just talk to you about giftedness from the Apostle Paul's perspective in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In chapter 1, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians, which I didn't put in the notes or on the screen, Paul says that, verse 5, that you were enriched in everything, in all utterance and all knowledge. That's in verse 5. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, verse 6, verse 7, so that you come short in no gift. This was a highly gifted church. But what do you know about the church at Corinth? It was a high problem church, highly divided. He had to spend, the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is a book that focuses on problem after problem after problem. That's why Paul wrote it. It was not a church with a lot of integrity. It was a church that had all kinds of problems, but highly gifted. And so Paul, writing about giftedness here, his primary issue is solving problems in the midst of giftedness. And so he says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, God gives these blessings, these gifts, these ministries, these activities. He gives these things. And there's a sense in which we're blessed when we get them. I'll read this list of manifestations of the Spirit here in verses 7 through 11. In fact, you can see them there at actually 8 through 11. You can see them. They're underlined up there. And you could say, wow, I wish I had all those. And then the question is, what would you do with them? Which is the problem. What would you do with them? And so, you know, he has this list, the word of wisdom. And for the most part, here's the thing. The evangelical non-Pentecostal church ignores these completely. They don't even talk about this list. The Pentecostal church gives a definition to these lists, and then the non-Pentecostal church plays devil's advocate and criticizes the Pentecostal church's definition. So nobody even kind of plays honest with these words. So what is a word of wisdom? Well, it simply is an expression of wisdom. I mean, that's what it says. That's what the words mean. A word of knowledge. It's an expression, the logos of wisdom. Logos of knowledge, and it's an expression of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. From whom does this knowledge come from? from the Spirit. You get into a situation and you're talking to somebody, and the Spirit of God grants you, in that context, wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to speak it to a person. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is, do you know that you don't, you say, well, I have the gift of faith. Well, I would suggest to you that you probably have faith in some situations and not so much faith in other situations. You know, sometimes you're loaded with faith and boldness. Some situations you're not so bold, not so much faith. I tend to be able to trust the Lord with, in the realm of money, people scare me to death. I'm not so bold to speak the gospel to people. Trust the Lord for finances? Well, that's a different story. What scares you? Well, that's the area. God's got to give you faith. God does give you faith in many other areas. But it's, you have to say, from whom does that faith come from? According to this passage, from the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, it's interesting. He doesn't add that from the same Spirit, but on all of these, but could you extrapolate that it's from the same Spirit on every one of these phrases? He does it on the first three. And so we go on. To others, he gives the gifts of healing. Actually, he gives it on four, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, by the same Spirit. To another, prophecy, by the same Spirit, if you would. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, the gift, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And so he lists out several manifestations of the Spirit. You could define each of these. You might even say this is a limited list. There might even be more manifestations of the Spirit, that God is doing multiple things in behalf of you. And then you are blessing the body of Christ in ways that the Spirit is manifesting himself through you. Then the summary statement in verse, by the way, I get to the last one, last four or five there, and I say gifts of healings, working of miracles. Do I believe in those? Yes, I believe in those. Do we as elders go and lay hands and anoint people for healing? Yes, we do that. People call for the elders. We elders go, and they talk with them, and they pray for them, and they lay hands on them, and they anoint them with oil. And at times, God has done miraculous healings for us. There are definitely people walking around today that were brain dead. The doctors in the family were talking about harvesting their organs. And the congregation prayed for them, and we went as elders and we anointed them with oil, and God raised them up. Such things happen. You know, does it happen every time? No, we prayed for people that died. That happens. You know what our part is? God tells us to do these things. We go, it's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. And so we go and we obey. And God grants gifts of healing by the same Spirit and workings of miracles. Another prophecy, discerning of spirits. He grants different kinds of tongues to everybody. No, not to everybody. To some, he grants interpretation of tongues. If it's going to go to the public body, it has to be interpreted. There has to be a understanding. It's going to be presented to the body of Christ, to the body as a whole, as a gathering. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Not as I will. It's my testimony that I fought this pastor business. I fought this preaching thing. It was not my will that I become a pastor, preacher, teacher. There comes a time where there has to be a yielding. There has to be a cooperation with the Spirit of God. You have to say yes to God. Not my will, but your will be done. And so, we're gifted. We're gifted. And then it comes a point where we have to come to this conclusion. The body needs us. The body needs us. Paul writes an interesting language here in the next few verses. Let me kind of go through this quickly. The body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being one are one body, so also is Christ. Lots of parts to a body, am I right? For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We've all been made to one drink into one Spirit. In fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now he kind of goes into this ludicrous conversation. He says, now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, why would feet and ears say such things? Well, they're inferior to hands and eyes. Probably, as they're thinking. But they're still needed. If you ever had a sore foot, you'd know. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if their whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? Now we've gone to noses. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. By the way, who made you a foot? Who made you a nose? Who made you a big nose? And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Reminds me of Monsters, Inc. He was just thinking about giving me the chocolate, that's all. If they were all members, where would the body be? See, you got to have diversity. And now indeed there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, here's the superiority complex. I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and on the unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What happens to a body when one part fights against the other? Yeah, it makes your body sick, doesn't it? So he says here, there be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Oh, that's difficult. And yet he says here, you're gifted. Let's rejoice together. Let's rejoice together. And so what was the attitude of Jesus Christ? Came to serve. Came to do what God had called him to do, which was what? He came to give his life so that people could be saved. No one else was qualified for the job. And so he came to give his life that we could be saved. And yes, it's true. God is going to lift him up and honor him and give him a name which is above every name. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess because he did that job well. Does he deserve that honor later on? Yes, he does. If you humble yourself before God and do what he asks you to do, will he lift you up? Yes, he will. That's a promise. What about if you try to lift yourself up? Doesn't fly. Humble yourself before God under the mighty hand of God and let him lift you up. It's what Jesus did, humble himself even unto death, even the death of the cross, and eventually he'll be honored. Are we honoring him today? Yes, we did. We do. You did at some point in your life when you said, I choose him as Savior. That attitude allows you to become servant in the body of Christ. I've taken you clear till almost 10 o'clock, so I need to stop. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, We exalt the Lord Jesus. We thank you for gifting us. We thank you that we are needed in the body of Christ. Thank you for the honor of being used by you with gifts that you've given to us. Father, I pray that this congregation, these people right here this morning, would know that they are gifted. That there is a task for them in your kingdom. They be encouraged to seek it out. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.